Well, dear Christian friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Although it's not one of the original Beatitudes, our second lesson from James today might be entitled, Blessed Are the Abnormal. Because James talks about what is normal in life. And what is normal is we treat rich people better than the poor. That's just the norm in society. And we may not know whether the rich person got their money by embezzling or taking advantage of poor people, or if the poor person is there because of bad health or bad luck of one kind or another. But what is normal is we treat those who are wealthy with respect, even if we don't know anything about them, and we tend to judge those who are poor and assume they're lazy and no good. That's the norm. And James tells us, don't you be normal. Be abnormal. Be different, because that's not the way God wants us to treat one another. Now, one person who could be described as abnormal is Vincent van Gogh. Now, normally, when you think of Van Gogh, you think of the guy who cut off his ear when he was rejected by a lady friend. You think of those weird paintings of his that were especially abnormal in his day. Today, they're highly valuable, but in the day, abnormal. But most people don't know he was the son of a pastor, and his first career was as a missionary. He was actually trained and then sent to poor miners, coal miners in Belgium. It was a position nobody wanted to go to, and he asked to go there. And in fact, he so related to the miners. He was so gracious to them that he became known as Christ of the coal mines. Yeah, Vincent van Gogh, who'd have thought? But he was so dedicated that, you know, in those days, the mission board would send a missionary to a field, but you were expected to be well-dressed, well-educated, above the people that you were ministering to. And here, he would take the money that he received from the mission board, and he would share it with the miners. He would dress in their dress. He would be one of them. And that didn't go over well with the people in the community who thought, no, those people should be kept below. In fact, he was in a bakery one day, and the story is the woman, the merchant's wife, saw him and said, you know, why is it that you wear the same clothing and that you share everything with these miners? And Van Gogh said, well, I am a friend of the poor just like Jesus was. And the baker's wife said, you are not normal. And in fact, his mission board didn't think he was normal. They only commissioned him for 1 year. They didn't like their pastor being down at the level of the coal miners. And so it was never renewed. And from there, then Van Gogh went on to a painting career. But he was abnormal in his compassion for the poor. But it's not normal because in society we show favoritism to the wealthy and disdain for the poor. In fact, Ed Marquette, a dynamic Lutheran pastor up in the Seattle area, tells a story one day of sending two members to the welfare office. One member dressed like a middle-class woman who had her hair done nicely. The other woman had disheveled hair and very poor clothing on, and the two of them went into the same office. The woman who came in nicely dressed with a nice hairdo, why, the clerk behind the desk just greeted her warmly. What can I do to help you? Helped her with all the papers, took her through the process every step of the way. And the poor woman with the disheveled hair was just handed some papers and said, go over there and fill them out. No help whatsoever. The truth of the matter is, what is normal is that we treat those with money differently than those who don't have money. And so it is that James, in our text today, says, that's not the way I want you to be. I want you to treat all people equally. And so In fact, James says, and that's the whole thing of the letter, when James writes a letter, it's because it's a problem in the church. And the problem is the wealthy are said, here, come, take the seat, sit in the very front row, you know, and everybody fawns over them. Everybody wants to treat them well, and the poor are simply ignored. And when we do that, in essence, we're saying wealth is more important than faith. When we show favoritism like that, we're saying wealth is more important than faith. Because when you look at the two people, who has the most faith? You cannot tell from the outside the faith of the person standing before you. I'll never forget one time in Pomona, we had a church right by the rail yards. It was a bad neighborhood, but periodically we'd have blankets and clothing for some of the homeless in the area. And I'll never forget the one day we were having a group come into the church, and this one homeless woman, oh, that's exactly what I needed, this blanket. Oh, it's, and she says, God always provides. And I was humbled. Wow, here is a homeless woman on the street, still homeless, but saying, God always provides me with the things I need, and took that blanket and went back onto the street. And I thought, how many of our members sitting in the pews on a Sunday morning have faith as great as that woman had? That despite everything else that was a struggle in her life, she knew that God provided for her. So when we show favoritism to somebody because of what's on the outside, we're saying we don't really value faith, because you can't see faith on the outside until that person shares it with you, as that one woman did. In fact, James put it this way: has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Well, that woman was gifted with faith, and she would have been a valuable member of this congregation or any other. Whether or not she was homeless, she had wonderful faith that would lift up anybody who was a part of the community and around her. And so we don't know if the well-dressed man is a thief or if the homeless person is a woman or a man of faith. And so one of the things James asks us to consider is, what kind of a congregation are we? You know, if I were writing a letter, I would not have to write what James wrote to this congregation. You know, every once in a while when you see a text like that and you see James condemning a group of people, you know, as your pastor, I'd be able to say, thank God for the way you welcome people. You know, we have a homeless shelter right next to us here. And all of those people are invited to come and worship with us as part of our worshiping community. You know, we have the ship, we have the Lord's pantry, and we have real help. Those people are always invited to come back and worship here in our congregation. Sunday mornings when we have the coffee and donuts out there, it is not uncommon for men who are walking up and down the street in front to just come in and grab a cup of coffee and a donut and walk out. But they are welcomed to do so, because that's part of who we strive to be as a welcoming congregation. And so, unlike James, I would not feel the need to write a scolding letter as he did to the people of his time who were showing that type of favoritism. And yet, we realize that is what's normal, and we're always tempted in that direction. You know, I'm always amazed at how we lift up, you know, these wealthy athletes, and you go, yet they're so abusive, they have so many problems, and yet we idolize them because they are so wealthy and so good in athletics. Or we praise wealthy leaders who've been unfaithful to their spouses, have numerous divorces, are demeaning to those around them, but because they have great wealth, somehow they have positions of honor. You know, we just concluded our summer series on the prophets. And if there was that one message the prophets reminded us, you know, treat the poor fairly. Wealth is not a sign of God's favor. No, compassion is what God desires from all of us, to be that welcoming community. And yet, even though God cares for the poor, we thank God for those who are rich as well, who have done it in a way that is generous. It's not that the church says, oh, the poor are good and the wealthy are bad. No, there are good and bad poor people, and there are good and bad wealthy people. And so on Labor Day, we thank for all those laborers, but we thank God for all the businessmen, because without strong businesses, there wouldn't be jobs for laborers. And so, but what we do is we thank God for those who are honest, those who are hardworking, those who provide jobs for the larger community. Because what's important is that we are generous and we don't just think of ourselves, rich or poor. You know, I think about one of the most positive things that we've seen among successful people was the giving pledge. And you may have heard this about 5 years ago. Warren Buffett and Bill Gates started a campaign for billionaires to give half of their wealth to charity. And when he started this in April of 2012, 81 billionaires had committed to giving half their fortune to charity. And as of last month, 137 billionaires had signed that pledge to give half of their wealth to the poor. And so just having money doesn't mean that you're dishonest. It's neither good nor bad. But many of them see in my wealth that commitment to give back to the community and not just to hoard it for themselves. So there are good and bad people, rich and poor. James reminds us, however, that faith and generosity are more valuable assets than wealth. Faith and generosity are more valuable assets than wealth. You know, and with that, you have to remember Jesus. You know, the story with the Pharisees, many who gave large sums, but who was the one person he praised? The widow who gave literally 2 cents because it represented a sacrifice. And so whether it's, you know, the giving pledge to make a sacrifice of half of your wealth, or whether it's a few pennies. You know, I think at VBS this summer, you know, kids were bringing in sack loads of pennies and coins, and by the end of the week, we had $1,000 raised by the VBS children to go to help the victims of the earthquake in Nepal. Or I think of our organ fund. What a classic one. We had gifts of several $1,000s, but we had numerous people giving $5 or $10. And yet each gift is equal in God's eyes when it is a gift made with sacrifice, when it is a gift made to glorify God. So today, as we hear that word from James, I'm thankful to God for everyone who has faith in God and praises his holy name. Thanks be to God for everyone who is generous and cares for others, whether their gift is in the millions or is a few pennies. Let any favoritism be shown toward every act of faith, generosity, and love. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Lord God, you call us to be abnormal. Our society favors the rich. We want to be like the rich. And you call us to be like the widow who gave her 2 cents, who was willing to make a sacrifice. Lord, when we are tempted to show favoritism, help us look for faith in others. And help us celebrate that faith. Help us celebrate generosity, whether it comes from a millionaire or a person who is homeless on the street. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.